Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 3rd of January, Anno Domini 2015. And you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose. Kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. Here comes the news. There's been talk for a while that Microsoft was going to make some big changes to Internet Explorer in the Windows timeframe, the Windows 10 timeframe, making Internet Explorer look and feel more like Chrome and Firefox. It turns out that's exactly what's happening, and Microsoft is building a new browser, codenamed Spartan, which is not IE12. Spartan is going to use Microsoft's Chakra JavaScript engine and Microsoft's Trident rendering engine, not WebKit, sources say. As NeoWin's Brad Sams reported back in September, the coming browser will look and feel more like Chrome and Firefox and will support extensions. Sams also reported on December 29th that Microsoft has two different versions of Trident in the works. Windows 10, at least the desktop version, will ship with both Spartan and IE11, sources say. IE11 will be there for backward compatibility's sake, and in case Spartan really just kind of dies. Spartan will be available for both desktop and mobile versions, which is phone and tablet, of course, of Windows 10. Spartan is just a code name at this point. Sources don't know what Microsoft plans to call this new browser when it debuts. The IE team hinted during a Reddit Ask Me Anything earlier this year that the team had contemplating changing the name of IE to try to get users to realize the much more standards-compliant IE of today is very different from the older proprietary crappy versions of IE. In the past, Microsoft may show off Spartan on January 21st when the company reveals its next set of Windows 10 features, but sources also aren't sure if Spartan will be functional enough for inclusion in the Windows 10 January technical preview and mobile preview builds that are expected to be available to testers in early 2015. It may not show up in the test builds until some point later. Will Microsoft end up porting the Spartan browser to Android, iOS, and or any other non-Windows operating system? Nobody knows. The IE team said a few months back that Microsoft had no plans to port IE to any non-Windows operating system, but Spartan isn't IE, and these days Microsoft is porting much of its software and services to non-Windows variants. So, who knows?
It's guilt by association. It's still IE.
It's still IE. So, our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is Microsoft may replace IE with a new browser. And your choices are, it's about time, I'll check it out, and who cares? So far, we have, he says as he waits for it to load. Anyway, we have a bunch of votes, and you should also be one of those people who's voting. 22 votes. And it's about time as edging out who cares. And only four of you will check it out. So definitely do that. And I know you'll have more to say about this because you are who you are. So down the right-hand column about midway, you'll see under Fascinating Stuff, a link for the forums. Click on that. It will take you to our forums. The second forum down is the poll discussion. And the if you click on that, the I beg your pardon. The top discussion there is about 3 Jan 15. Microsoft may replace IE with a new browser. Five of your fellow soundbiters have already posted there. Please join them.
You know, starting of the new year.
Before you say that, give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415.
No, going back to, you know, the voting, remember the number of votes?
Oh, yeah.
Caused me to think back to Kenny.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
I do remember Kenny Cooper.
K- Kenny Cooper. I don't know why that all of a sudden flashed back in my mind. New Year, and you're counting the votes. And he always had to try to be the first one in there.
Yep.
To vote. So he could say he's the first one.
Yep.
First.
Wonder whatever happened to that kid.
He shows up in the apple cider forums every now and then.
So he's not a kid anymore. None of us
I
are.
I know. Yeah. We've been out there 20 years.
Wait a minute. Anybody younger than me is still a kid.
Yeah, right. Right.
Yeah. But, yeah, I just wonder, you know, what the heck ever happened to him? Because, what, he was 7th, 8th grade, I think?
When he first started listening, yeah.
Yeah. And just sort of disappeared.
So he's 30 with, you know, 35 with, you know, two kids and three divorces, you know, just like the rest
just
of
like
us.
The rest. Yeah, scary.
Yeah, yeah.
When I went to my 5-year high school reunion, I was surprised on how many divorces and second marriages there already were in 5 years.
Well, I didn't go to mine. I went to my 5-year college reunion.
See, I made the 5.
Yeah, every year I go, 10. it's basically a resume mill. Here, this is my entrepreneurial ID. Please hire me.
As near as I remember, I was the only male there because I was at Nazareth College. I was the first male graduate of Nazareth College. And so when I went to the 5-year reunion, they asked me to give a little talk. I stood up and I stood there and I said, "Bet you never expected to see a face like this here."
No, nowadays, for at least Charlotte, they have a get-together for all the classes. Because so many of, us, there's so few that, you know, they just say, all right, if you've gone to Charlotte, you know, just show up. And they have a reunion down, I think it's down the Pelican's Nest or something like that, down around there. And they just have a big party for all Charlotte alumni. But that school has changed so much.
Sure. So you see the old folks and the young kids and the everybody all together. That's kind of fun that way.
Yeah. Different.
That's kind of fun. I went to one last year. My friend Trish Rappin, La Buzetta, asked me if I would go with her. She didn't want to go alone.
Mm-hmm.
But she wanted somebody else from the class to go with her. So we went. It was fun. It was actually fun. I saw some people I hadn't seen in possibly forever. And it was nice. It was very nice. I'm generally not nostalgic about my high school or college days, but that was fun. My college days more so. I had fun in college. I was a theater major.
Mm-hmm.
I had fun in college.
Yeah.
That's what I did. Internet Explorer has been the butt of so many jokes for so many years.
And, well, it's always been the biggest thing for a tech.
Right.
You know, it's always...
Yeah, it's that known quantity. They know it's on every Windows machine.
Yeah.
Right. Right. And it's never been a priority for Windows, for Microsoft. So it's always been behind in updates. It's always been behind in new features. It's always been behind in fixes. So it's always not only just a known quantity, but a known wide open crappy quantity.
Yeah.
So the fact that they are replacing it, obviously, you know, a new old wine in new bottles, maybe, but we'll see. Whether or not the product itself is any better, I'm sure we'll all be very interested in testing it. It's going to come with Windows 10. I suspect you'll be able to get it on 8 at the very least. Microsoft continues to want to run the same code base of Windows on all its products. Desktop, laptop, tablets, phone.
Ain't going to happen.
I get it. It makes it easier for their people to write stuff. And it also makes it easier for third-party people to write stuff. But, man, I don't know what kind of hoops you got to jump through to make that happen without making a huge mess. I don't get it. It's whatever. You know, whatever. But
think about how many millions of lines of code there already is.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The real problem, of course, is that no matter what else happens... no matter what sort of products they use to develop it and what sort of code management products they use and et cetera, no human mind can grasp anything larger or more complex than a lever. And so when you come to millions and millions of lines of code, nobody understands the interactions. Nobody understands the unintended consequences. And you can look at a piece of code for hours before you find the issue.
Oh, I can remember those days.
Yep.
And oftentimes you don't see it because you wrote it and you gloss right over the problem.
Yeah, right.
And so someone else has to look at it and they'll find it right away.
Yeah, have somebody else go through your code and it could have been just a simple wrong direction or a wrong, you know, instruction.
Or you missed a parenthesis and suddenly it changes everything.
Yeah. Or you thought you were clearing out one integer spot and you weren't. You were maybe doubling it and it was throwing off your results and everything else. So.
Yep. Yeah. I told you guys that when I worked at a large financial institution, this guy comes up to me. He says, so I was a tech support for them. He said, so I understand you're an Excel macros guru.
Oh, boy.
I said, well, I know Excel macros, but that doesn't make me a guru. But, yes, I know Excel macros. He said, well, I got a problem with one. I want you to fix it. And he said, he's belligerent. And I'm thinking, all right, I don't know what his issue is, but all right, I'll work with it. We were in a room with one of those big 8-foot-long folding tables.
Mm-hmm.
He had this stack of accordion paper, laid it out, and it flopped over both ends of the paper of the table. One macro that it had written. My first thought was, well, there's your problem.
Whoa.
And that was back in the day when there's no returns. It's just one giant line, right?
It's one giant line. As the paper settled to the table, my eye lit on just a line in the exact middle of the code where he had left out a semicolon after a print. Just pure serendipity. I pointed at it, went, well, there's your problem, and I walked out of the room. And he just couldn't speak. And days later, I saw him on the elevator. I said, so how's your macro? He said, that was the problem. You fixed it.
Oh, you gotta love it.
You gotta love it. That was, like I said, and I said it even to him, I said, pure serendipity that my eye caught that.
Yeah, but that's what it takes sometimes, just like Steve said.
Yep.
Sometimes it takes a fresh set of eyes to take a look at something, because you can be staring at it, and to you, because you wrote it, you've been staring at it for hours, it looks right.
And I've had the same thing at the other end. You write this code and somebody comes in and immediately says, oh, you left out a semicolon, or you misspelled that variable, or, you know, you used a something instead of a something, and, Yeah, we all have seen it.
Yeah, I remember doing a project ages ago and just out of college for Kodak, and I was on this team of like 20 people. It was a 6-month-long project, and we're getting ready to present the final report to the president. And it went through proofreading. It went through, you know, the back office. We printed hundreds of copies and gave it to him. Frank Zaffino. I still remember his name because it was such a traumatic event. He opens the cover, you know, typo on page one.
Uh-huh.
50 people looked at this book and no one saw that typo.
A friend of mine who was an ad executive, Sunday morning, she opens the paper, giant 2-page spread. It's supposed to say Sears shirts. The R was missing. Giant 1.5-inch type across the page. Of course, she immediately goes into work. She looks at it. Every single copy of the proof that everybody signed off on for 1.5 weeks had that typo. Nobody saw it. Nobody.
Including the people at the DNC.
Including the people at the DNC.
I know the ad agency this happened at.
Sears, including the people in the agency.
Yep.
Everybody signed off on it. Nobody saw it.
So nobody got fired.
And nobody got fired because everybody signed off on it.
Yep.
Yes, but... That's the way it is. You need someone else to look at your work. One of the things that I find most difficult about writing a book is proofreading it myself. So a friend of mine and I have a deal. I proofread his stuff. He proofreads my stuff. And I'm seeing that, you know, when I buy, books, I buy a lot of 99-cent books. I buy a lot of, the free, you know, first book. People give them away, and the typos and the left out words make me insane.
Yep.
You know, I really hate it.
One of the
particularly
tricks.
Typos. Does no one have a spell checker? Does no one spell check words?
Yep. One of the tricks one of the proofreaders I worked with once had was to read the book backwards. And you don't get the context of the book, but
right.
You'll find typos, you'll find misspellings, you'll find double words because it doesn't make it's like Lorem Ipsum. It doesn't make any sense, and so you don't look at the text, you look at the flow.
That's actually pretty clever. All right, listen, we're going to take a quick break, but you should probably give us a call. The numbers are 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 1-800-790-0415. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 19 minutes after the hour, we're Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Beg your pardon. Here's an interesting story. Take a look at your following list on Twitter. You might find some brands or people showing up there, even if you don't follow them. If so, that seems due to a new change or a newly noticed change in how Twitter is doing placement for promoted accounts. Credit to William Shatner, who spotted this first, or if not first, had been the most vocal about it. He noted that MasterCard was showing up on the list of accounts he was following, even though he wasn't actually following them. Shatner also noticed that for Dwayne The Rock Johnson, who follows only one person, MasterCard was magically showing up as a second account being followed. Shatner spotted others like Lady Gaga and Barack Obama having MasterCard added to the list of those they followed. Even MasterCard rival Visa was shown as following MasterCard. But it's not just celebrities that were having MasterCard showing up in their follow lists. It happened to regular folks, too. When asked on Twitter, a range of people reported that they had MasterCard follow in their following lists. Follower campaigns are displayed in multiple locations across the Twitter platform, including home timelines, who to follow, and search results. You may see a follower's campaign if a follower campaign is relevant to you. What seems new is that follower campaigns were putting promoted accounts into the following lists of others. Twitter says there's been no change to its follower promoted accounts. These ad types have run since 2013 and apparently displayed even in following lists. It's not clear why so many seem to have spotted them recently, however. Certainly, Shatner drew attention to them, which caused others to look. But Shatner is also extremely savvy Twitter user. If these ads have been showing up in his following list since 2013, we'd have expected him to have noticed it way before now. Soon after Shatner tweeted about MasterCard showing up, it disappeared from his following list, as well as from many others. Possibly so many people checking their following list caused MasterCard to appear so much that it hit its daily budget for showing ads. Alternatively, MasterCard may have stopped the account in response to people blaming it for doing something that actually was a change in Twitter accounts. I've seen tweets from others wanting to block MasterCard over this, but while that may remove the MasterCard placement, other promoted campaigns might take its place. So if you got bogus followers on Twitter, give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415, just like Larry did. From Rochester, New York. Welcome, Larry. What's up?
Good afternoon, guys, and Happy New Year to all of you.
And to you.
Thank you. I just purchased a new laptop for my grandson, who's in sixth grade, a Lenovo Yoga 2.
Sure.
And it has Windows 8.1. I'm not that familiar with Windows 8.1, but with it came something called WebRoot as a... network security, so I installed it. I'm a little concerned that every time you get into something like this, it always gives you a message that says this program will change your computer or something like that, or change your files. Do you want it to do that? Yes, no. So I, in some cases, I say no, some things install. If you say no, others stop where they are and they don't do anything. So I guess I wanted to know what's up with that. And then secondly, my grandson would like to have a couple of things on his computer like Netflix and stuff. Is that a problem?
Okay, first, WebRoot is one of many, 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 many antivirus programs. It's actually internet security as a service. So it's really part of the Netroot cloud.
It has a kind of unfortunate name.
Yeah, it really
does. It
sounds
bad.
Yeah, it really does. So, but Webroot is a legit thing. And the reason it wants to make changes to your computer is that it wants to include itself in the boot process so that it immediately, at the very start of your computer, starts protecting your computer.
Oh, okay. Now I understand.
So since you're the one trying to install it, you can say yes.
Okay.
The problem becomes if a bad program tries to sneak in and install, it may ask the same questions. And so it becomes very hard to know what's a good program and what's a bad program.
Right, but since you're the one installing it, you should at least know that Webroot is okay.
Okay.
The second thing, whether or not your grandson can play Netflix and etc. I need to look up the. Do you know the specs on the Lenovo? Is it the Yoga 2?
It's the Yoga 2.
Or the Yoga 2 Pro?
It's the Yoga 2. I just purchased it from Best Buy.
Or the Yoga 3?
No, this is the Yoga 2.
Yeah. It's the Lenovo. It's essentially a kind of a cross. It's a very thin laptop or a very thick tablet with a keyboard or however you want to look at it.
Yeah, this is one of the ones you flip it around and it's all the way around and it's supposed to be somewhat like a pad, but you know, I find that difficult to even conceive since it's really a computer. I'm just trying to get to a place here where I can see exactly what's on it. So Lenovo Yoga 2.
Yeah, okay.
And it has, it says Intel Pentium inside, but that could be lots of things.
Yeah. It's very likely that it would do Netflix without any real trouble.
Okay.
It may not do much more than that at once.
Okay.
Right, but you should have no issue putting Netflix on it and letting him play it through there.
Okay.
The same thing would be true.
You know, and I'm old school, so in my mind, I see more than just a glorified game machine.
Right.
I was also looking for a decent little word processor. Doesn't cost anything, and something that he can really start to learn to keyboard.
Okay, there are a couple that are available. If you're looking for
even LibreOffice, but
if we're looking for something, oh my golly, I can't think of the name of it. Give me a minute. If I can't think of it before the break, I'll get
Abby Word.
Abby Word, thank you. Abby Word is a very simple, free word processing program. It works on, I think, everything.
Yeah.
Okay, it's every word.
Abby Word, ABIWORD.
Oh. Okay.
Likely at abbyword.org.
Okay.
And you can download it and install it. It's like I said, it's a very simple but very usable word processor.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really all it does, as opposed to, you know, the things that are all in one, does everything, yada, yada, yada.
Right.
It's free. It's very powerful, actually.
Okay.
And very useful. It will save in its own format, as well as in a number of formats like RTF that are shareable with people who have Word and etc.
Okay.
So he can write stuff that he can use in school with that.
Okay.
Without having to buy Office. In addition, if he gets to the point where they want him to use a spreadsheet and things like that, there, and you may want to get him started on this right away as opposed to Abby Word. There is also a program called LibreOffice, L-I-B-R-E Office, all one word again, at LibreOffice.org.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a full Office suite, word processor, spreadsheet, presentation package, everything. It will read and write Word, Excel, and PowerPoint documents, and again, is completely free.
Okay. Libre, L-I-B-R-E.
Office.
Okay.
Again, all one word at LibreOffice.org.
Yeah, we're Latin starting to get surprised at what he actually brings home for homework now. And some of these things are starting to sneak in.
Yep.
And so I don't want them to be behind the curve, but on the other hand, you know, I've been using Microsoft Office since it was invented, I guess. And,
yeah.
You know, that's just a little much, I think, for a sixth grader. That's just my opinion. I could
right.
be wrong.
Right, right, right. And that's why something like Abby Word might be more useful. Now,
they might have been using Google Docs in school. My son does at Fairport.
Yep. That's the other thing I was about to suggest. If he's going to be, he should check to see what they use, but if he has a Google account.
Uh-huh.
And that just means a Gmail account. If he's got a Gmail account, he's got a Google account.
Oh.
He can go to drive.google.com, and they have an online word processor, spreadsheet, presentation program, database.
Oh, I've actually used that.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah. And again, it's got a lot of really nice features. One of the features that I absolutely love about it is if you highlight a word and select research,
uh-huh.
it will actually do the research on the web, and when you pick the thing you want, it'll put in a footnote in either I can't think today. Chicago Manual of Style or any one of those other formats that they want. You know, all he has to do is figure out which
right.
format his faculty want him
right.
to use. And again, that's, of course, completely free. It lives online, but when you set it up, you can also set it up to work offline.
Okay.
Although, who's not near Wi-Fi anymore? I mean, how...
Yeah,
right?
Our entire house is connected with Wi-Fi.
Right.
His house is, too, so
right.
It just happened online. And then I guess my final question is... I've learned to type over the years from college. You know, back in the day when you started on typewriters, I was poor, but once you got word processing, I really learned to type.
Mavis Beacon.
What's a good way to teach a kid to really type?
Mavis Beacon is a good start. I was one of those people who actually took a typing class.
On a real typewriter.
On a real typewriter.
Yeah.
So did I,
yep.
And we did the exercises, A, S, D, F, G, F, semi, L, K, J, H, J. And so I learned to touch type. And our final exam was they put a cloth over the keyboard and gave us something to type.
Yep.
Oh.
Nobody does that anymore.
I was always faster with six fingers than I was 10.
Oh, no, I was good with 10. In fact, I was, before the arthritis set in, I was 90 words a minute. But
okay.
Here's the thing. People ask me all the time, what's the first thing I should learn if I want to be a computer person, you know, whether I'm going to be doing repair or I'm going to be doing programming or whatever. And I say type. Learn to type. It's your major interface into the computer. And even, you know, with all the hoopla these days, it's still the number one thing. So my suggestion is if you can get him... a good beginning word typing tutor, and there are, you know, if you Google typing tutor, you'll come up with just dozens of them. Dozens of them. Mavis Beacon is the most well known one. I don't know if it's even still
out
there.
$20.
$20.
Does that work online? I guess you'd get it and you'd load it into the PC.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, well, I'm from the Mavis Beacon School. That's what I'm most familiar with. And most of it I've just learned because at work I just simply had to do it. You had to learn to do it. There's just no options for you.
Yep.
But, I started to learn to type on a actual typewriter, which my grandson wouldn't even know what it is if he saw it. I guess that's it for me.
There you go.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Take care, Larry.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Wow, 25th anniversary.
Of what?
Of Mavis Beacon teaches typing. Wow, she's been teaching typing as long as we've been doing sound bites, almost.
Yeah.
Almost. But, yeah, it's, the whole idea about learning to type, it's tedious. And I get that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? But I went through it, and now I know how to do it, and now I don't have to worry about it.
And then there's the whole story that the QWERTY keyboard was designed to slow you down so the mechanical heads didn't collide.
Yeah, that's not actually true.
Mostly still, debunked by now, yeah.
Yeah.
But if we switch to Dvorak, you can type more without moving your hands off a home row as well.
Right.
But 110, 115 years now of QWERTY.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing at all. But yeah, I think that learning to type at any age. I mean, if you're gonna write anything on the computer, and actually use the Y and the O in the word you, you're going to need to have some sort of typing skills. And whether it's 2 fingers, 6 finger, 10 finger, 12 finger, whatever it takes, you really need to sit down and do it. And I know people don't want to do that anymore. People don't want to actually
don't
spend
have the time
learning to do things. Yeah, they have the time. They just don't want to take the time.
Yeah. No, you're right.
You know, there's a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's day is so full that they couldn't spend 10 minutes a day practicing typing.
True.
Nobody's
it's
day.
Them, how important it is to them.
Right. It's not that they don't have the time.
It's just they don't.
They don't take the time.
Yep.
And
no,
that's a different story entirely. Speaking of stories, we want to hear yours. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll free at 1-800-790-0415. In the meantime, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 39 minutes after the hour. Beg your pardon. We are Soundbites on the truly great and solely member-supported Jazz 90.1. Stay tuned.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we are sound bites, and we have Mike from Livonia on the line. Welcome, Mike. What's up?
Hey, thanks. We are, you know, looking at internet speeds and stuff, and I did a test online. Says I'm only getting 7 megabytes per second, but I'm paying for a 30 megabyte per second service.
Well, that's your first mistake.
What causes the difference?
You're paying for up to 30.
Up to 30, right.
Right, 7 is up to 30.
I have a tier that says up to 20, yeah. So I'm paying $10 more for 10 megabytes difference, but I'm not even getting 10 in and of itself, so I'm kind of curious what's the...
Yeah, the deal there is when they say up to 30... They're not telling you that's what you normally get. That's what you could get. So you could get bursts of up to 30 megabits per second.
At 2 in the morning when no one else is using it.
And as long as that's available to you, and as long as it happens to you maybe once a month, or perhaps just once.
So that just occasionally might happen. That's a burst.
Yeah, that's a burst.
At 2 in the morning. Okay, so...
Sounds
like
peaceful.
So, but when it's like the test that I did like 2 different places because, you know, you do the one test and it's like, click here to make it faster, and then you get like all kinds of stuff you don't want on your
right,
computer.
Right. And it doesn't work anyway.
Well, right. So that's what I'm wondering. If I'm only getting 7, you know, I'm thinking, why not pay for the turbo instead of the extreme, because one's 44 and one's 54, or, you know, it's $10 difference. If I'm not even getting 10 as it is,
right,
if I'm up to 20 or up to 30, right?
Well, and that's the... Go ahead.
So the other thing to do is check different times during the day.
Right.
We often see in the... Well, not on vacation now. In the 2:30, 3 o'clock range, speeds will drop drastically because all the kids got home from school and got on their game machines.
Right. I guess I'm just curious if you guys know what the difference is between that turbo and the extreme level that they can...
Well, the big difference is that you have the possibility of going faster.
Nothing guaranteed.
But again, it's the weasel words. It's up to 30 megabits per second. Doesn't mean you're going to get it.
Right.
But the possibility exists.
You know, it's just, to me, an economics thing. It's just a common, you know, sense. Why pay more for something if I'm not even getting it? If I could lessen my bill by $10 a month and I'm not seeing any difference in the speed. Because I did the basic one time, and I noticed, you know, it took forever, and I'm like, why do you even offer this version? Because this is just dumb. If it's not even, if it's always going to be slow, why would you even offer some product like that?
Right.
It's cheap.
Yeah. But it's where I'm saying, you know, I just want it to work on a regular basis, and
right,
you know, to me, it's all like marketing, I think.
Yeah.
Well, basically, most of it is, and that's exactly what's happening to you is your when you get the other one, it says up to 20.
Right.
Now, this one would be up to 30. Then the next one would be up to 50. It doesn't mean you get that all the time. It means you could get that sometimes. Now, back in the day when I was working, when I was contracting on my own, I mostly worked nights. And at 2 in the morning, I owned the internet.
Right.
You know, it was as fast as I needed it to be.
Yeah.
It also depends on what's in your neighborhood and how many people are on your head end, if you're on cable, or your DSLAM if you're on DSL, and how many other people are using your system at what time of day.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's an amazing number of variables. So when you run those internet speed tests, you really want to run them every hour for a day. And then take the average of that, and that's where you are at that moment.
And if you run inside the network rather than trying to go to, a foreign server, so Time Warner and Frontier both have their own speed tests inside the network. So if you go to a Time Warner speed test when you're using Time Warner, that's...
No, I tried to do a couple of different ones that weren't within Time Warner, so I knew I was, something unbiased, hopefully.
Well, that gives you the speed to the other end through the rest of the internet. That has nothing to do with the speed your provider is providing to you.
Right, and that's the other part of this. When they say up to 30 megabits per second, that's really inside their network. Nobody can guarantee what happens outside their own network. So, for example, if you go to soundbites.org, right? That lives on a machine with many other domains. If they're all busy, Soundbites is slow.
Right.
If they're not busy, Soundbites is fast.
Now, depending the router that I have, though, is that make a difference?
Not much.
Well, it can, depending on how old it is.
Yeah.
One of the things we've noticed is a lot of the ISPs tend to recycle very old modems, and getting them to give you a newer modem or buying your own modem, you can get better speeds. Was it DOCSIS 2 or DOCSIS 3 on the spec sheet of the box?
I matched up the Scientific Atlanta one that they had. I just kind of found one online that matched it and just bought that one, I knew that it would work.
Well, yeah, but that might not have been a good idea, because Scientific Atlanta is an old crappy modem.
Actually, though, this one's a WebStar. Oh, yeah, Scientific Atlanta WebStar. Where's the number that you're suggesting I look at?
It would be on the spec sheet.
The DOCSIS 2 or DOCSIS 3, DOCSIS.
And it may not say on the box. On the physical product, it may only say on the box.
Right, and that's basically...
Data manufacturer 1206 and DPC 2100R2.
So the date of manufacture is December 2006, so you bought an 8-year-old router.
Right. It's $20.
Which is bad. You want to buy a couple of month old router.
Right. And
so I go and get a new router, I could increase my speeds and
possibly,
go to a lesser
maybe
cost and have better production probably.
No, not
well, possibly. It's so
there's
so
other variables.
That, yeah, but there are other variables, but if your modem is not capable of delivering 30 megabits, you're never going to see 30 megabits. So say your modem can only do 10, or your modem can only do 5, you're lucky to get 7.
Right.
Because your modem is so old.
And let's put this in perspective. The Motorola Surfboard DOCSIS 3 high-speed cable modem is $70 at Best Buy.
They're charging you a fee to rent the one from them that is the exact same one. So I was being charged rent on something I already paid for itself by buying this one. And this is already probably a year old now.
Right. Well, if you still have documentation on it, look and see what version of DOCSIS you're running. DOCSIS stands for Data Over Cable Service Interface Specification. And it's DOCSIS 3 that you're really looking for right now.
DOCSIS 3.
Right. Yeah. If it's not 3.0 or higher, I don't think there is a higher yet, but if it's not 3.0 or higher, you may only ever get 7 or 10 megabits per second.
Right. And the Motorola 6121 or 6141 tends to be the best bet to use these days with Time Warner cable. It's capable of 300 megabits, so if and when they ever put it out, you can get it, but we see a lot of people having very good luck and higher speeds than with the Time Warner router that is being supplied, and Time Warner is raising the rental rate first of the year too. So
that's the thing and then I have the wireless router off of the regular modem, and that's an N150, that I got, a Netgear N150. Does it make a difference with that too, that wireless, if I were to get a better, wider, broad bandwidth on that too?
Wireless is almost always faster than wired. So your N router is 450 megabit. So your cable is 7, so the N router is already significantly faster.
So that's not the issue then, is the Wi-Fi.
Yeah, the Wi-Fi is not the issue. It's the age and the version level of your cable modem could be the issue.
Right. Okay. So that would be why it's only 3 and 7. Because my kid downstairs will play his, you know, online games, and every once in a while we'll all get like seized and we all scream, Colden, you know, he binded everybody up, and it's probably because that modem itself that comes right from the cable.
My suggestion is you start by replacing the modem.
Right.
And then, if you're going to do a speed test, do it on the Time Warner speed test site, which is within the network. That will tell you what your theoretical best is. You will, so that it at least it gives you a benchmark, a high end, right? Now, your low end is could be zero. If a site is down, well, don't forget, once you get on the internet, particularly with Internet One, all bets are off. It could be anything from anywhere going through anything, so you can't, there's no minimum speed that people have to provide on the internet.
Right. So I'm thinking I want to, you know, save money from Time Warner. I could downgrade to the 20 megabyte. But upgrade my modem and get faster speed than I have right now, paying more.
Well, let's do it this way. You're gonna upgrade the modem anyway, so do that.
Right.
It's $70 or whatever, big deal. Do that and then do the tests and see what you get. If you're still getting less than 30, then you may decide to lower yourself to the 20 meg limit.
Right.
But do it one step at a time. Don't get nuts yet.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
You won't know.
Yep.
You won't know which step fixed the problem.
Yeah. It's the old troubleshooting story. Yeah, change one variable at a time.
The modem itself being old, like you said, that would be the first step, and then
exactly
that's going to probably help. And then if that helps, I could probably afford to downgrade a little bit because we don't. You know, it's not like we're running huge files across to people and stuff like that. I'm not working
exactly.
On mm-hmm. have, you know,
exactly.
Stuff.
Yep.
So all right. Thanks,
all right.
Guys.
Thanks.
Yeah,
and when
everyone in the house wants to watch a different movie and the kids are all playing different video games over the internet, that's when you need that 50.
Yeah. Speaking of which, by the way, I must say, before somebody calls up and asks, I don't yet have green light because they're going to be this week.
I was going to lead into that. I had somebody asking a question about green light because they were a little confused because they were looking to do... You know, another service provider, but to break the cable connection and get stuff over the internet, like TV.
Yeah.
And I think Steve was also talking about different services that you could buy into for like $8 a month. Other channels are starting to offer their services. But I was also telling them about, well, if you do that through, say, Green Lantern and get like Hulu.
Well, here's the thing. On Greenlight at greenlightnetworks.com, okay, one of the things on their front page is how to watch TV without cable. Click on that. It leads you to a page that talks about Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, Crackle, Kylo, Boxy, and some other stuff. And all of those have television shows available, not necessarily last night's television show. Mm-hmm. But the same series, maybe a season behind or whatever. The premium ones tend to have the new series.
And many of the network have their own shows on their own website, ABC.com, CBS.com.
And Green Lantern is going to cost what a month?
Green Light Networks.
Green Light is going to cost what?
Green Light Networks costs $50 a month for 100 megabits. Twice as fast as the fastest cable connection in Rochester.
Two-thirds the price.
Two-thirds the price. Cheaper and two-thirds the price and twice as fast. Or you can pay for a gigabit per second. That's going to cost $250 a month. But for a business,
Yeah.
That's exactly what you want, and you're not going to beat it anywhere in town. Now, the thing about Greenlight is they're rolling slowly out across the city, so
they've been dragging their feet to your neighborhood.
They have been doing it on purpose. I'm convinced they've been doing it on purpose.
Well, the ground is hard now. It's hard to dig trenches.
It is hard to dig trenches, but they are working on it. There's a picture that clearly was taken in my catty corner backyard neighbors as they were stringing wire. I can see my trees and my roof and everything else. So they clearly are in my neighborhood. And in fact, yesterday, some guy from RG&E was out spray painting the sidewalk. You know, putting the
marks to skip your house?
Yes, exactly. I'm sure that's what he was doing. Exactly. And I went out and said,
loop over.
And I said, is this for green light? He said, they don't tell us. We know it's for some sort of communication thing. He said, I really hope it's for green light because I live that way. About three streets. And I want it too. So there's probably, because we got this big thing on our street, it probably says skip this house in some special symbols that they have.
Yeah.
I don't doubt that at all. But Greenlight is fiber to the home. Minimum speed is 100 megabits per second for two-thirds the price of half the speed from the cable provider. And of course, you can also get gigabit, which is great for businesses and housing units and apartment complexes and things like that. It's a brilliant idea. There is a $100 installation fee. So what? And I'm just waiting and I'm just waiting and I'm just waiting. And you know what? They had a holiday, and I hope they all had a great time on their holiday. Listen, we're going to take a slightly longer break. You've wasted an entire hour of your life listening to this show. If you're on the line, please stay on the line. We'll get to you as soon as we come back from the break. If you're not on the line, I don't know why not. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. And we'll be back with another hour of this nonsense with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 59 minutes after the hour. Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More sound bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Sound Bites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Yeah, toll-free 800-790-0415.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
Apparently we're not paying attention, but you're hurtling headlong into the second hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. It's Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1, and we have Roger from Irondequoit on the line. Welcome, Roger. What's up?
Well, Nick, I got a couple of things on real quick. One of them is a suggestion for the gentleman who's downloading a typing program for his grandson.
Larry, sure.
I found a great one that I used a long time ago. And that's right on Firefox. It's called Addictive Typing Lessons.
What's it called?
Addictive Typing Lessons.
Addictive Typing Lessons.
Right. Let me get it back here.
Nice.
Yeah, Addictive Typing Lessons. It's a Firefox add-on.
Oh, it's a Firefox add-on. Very nice.
So it's right there, and that will teach him his fingerings and, you know, what keys to use with which finger.
Right.
But also there's another game on the Internet called Type Racer. And this is great with kids because what it does is you go into TypeRacer, you can either enter practice or competition mode. If you enter a typing race, your first race, it will record your speed. And after that, it will put you in races with other people who are in your speed range.
Interesting.
And there's a little Volkswagen bugs, just like the old horse race games used to be.
Yeah.
That move across the screen with your typing speed, shows you when you're making an error. But really a fun way to practice typing instead of sitting there going F-G-J-H, F-G-J-H.
Right. How cool is that?
That could be great for them. It's a lot of fun. I mean, I'm 63 years old and I had fun playing it.
There you go. Excellent. So, thanks, Roger.
Okay, one other quick question. That Motorola modem you were recommending, was that the 6121?
The 6121 is good for 150 megabit. The 6141 is good for 350 megabit. So if you're, if, which, both of which are faster than Time Warner currently offers.
Right.
So,
so it depends on how much of an optimist you are, which one you get.
So the 6121 is all you need. But if you're hoping that, that you, you, that the Time Warner will offer faster in the future, then the 6121.
Actually, we'll catch up with Europe where the tech writers are complaining about being in a hotel locked into a crappy 100 meg download.
Yep.
Yes. Yes. The rest of the world is far, far, far ahead of us, both in terms of speed and in price. It's much, much cheaper everywhere else on Earth and much, much faster on top of it.
Time Warner.
I'm just thinking of dumping the Time Warner modem. They're going up to $8 a month.
Which is ridiculous.
And then they want another $5 a month if I'd like wireless on it instead of using my own router.
Right. Yep.
And I'm ready to replace my router, so I'm thinking, why not go the route? I just saw the 6121 online for, I think it was $88.
Yep.
And it's $96 a year if you're going to pay the $8.
Yeah, it pays for itself in less
than
a year.
Check Best Buy. The 6121 was less expensive at Best Buy.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks a lot, and I hope that program works out for that guy. Getting a kid to type, that's the most important thing you can do today.
That's exactly right. Thanks so much, Roger.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Now, Time Warner has announced faster services up to 300 megabit in their premier cities, New York City and L.A. I always get excited when they say New York and because they mean New York City, and, and I want them to say New York.
New York State.
So it is possible, but I'm also wondering how much of Time Warner's expansion they've stopped, waiting to see what happens with the Comcast merger. So let Comcast pay for it, not Time Warner.
Well, exactly. That's on hold right now.
Yeah.
The government is taking a second look at that. I got nothing to say about that.
Yeah.
But,
and also wanted to mention that the Apple Starter Users Group meeting, February 11th, next month's meeting, we're going to have Phil Cap from Stop the Dampier. No.
Phil Dampier
from Stop the Cap.
Yeah, not Phil Cap from Stop the Dampier. That's a whole other website, and we'll be registering that later today.
So, Phil Dampier from StopTheCap.com is going to be back continuing his series on cutting the cable cord. And basically the options of what you do to watch television on the internet without needing to pay for cable TV service. And I think this is the third time he's been in, and we're talking about the different options. And just the amount of knowledge he has about the goings-on inside the cable industry is just astounding.
Yeah. And that's, again?
February 11th at 7 p.m. at East High School, corner of Main and Culver.
So we'll see you all there. In the meantime, we'll go back to the phones, and it's Joe from Chick.
East High School, corner of Main.
Tawaga, New York.
Turn the radio down.
Joe, turn the radio down. Joe? We're going to hang up on you, Joe. Joe?
Give him a minute to catch
up. Okay, seriously. This is bad radio. Hang him up. I'm sorry,
We're
Joe.
Push the button again.
But that's not going to work for us. Call back. We'll move on to the next caller. Try it again. All right. Is this still Joe?
Yes, it is. All I heard was ringback tone.
Oh, there you go. Who knows what that was about? What's up?
Well, the caller that had the Scientific Atlanta modem. There's a couple things. You know, we seem to bandy about these terms of megabits versus megabytes. I have to wonder if the speed test site told him megabits or megabytes. 7 seems a little too high for megabytes for 30 megabits. So, wonder what was going on there.
That's a very good point. To bring everybody up to speed, there are 8 bits in a byte. So if you do it by megabits, it's, say, call it 30 megabits per second. If it's megabytes, it's that divided by 8.
Yeah.
Which would actually have them at about 56 megabits per second.
Yeah. The speed test site you choose also could have quite a bearing on how much you see for your test. I'm not quite sure about how the routing goes around the Rochester area, but I know here in the Buffalo market, for some oddball reason, most the internet gets routed through Time Warner Cable in Chicago.
Yep.
So the speed test sites for speedtest.net, for example, in Chicago tend to work a whole lot better than, say, Los Angeles or New York or even a mega interconnect site like Ashburn.
Right. And that's why we told them.
That simply has to do with the way the data flows around the internet, the fact that it's speed of light, as you know, the speed limit of the universe. So it takes longer to go to Chicago to New York than Buffalo to New York.
Well, even more importantly, it also is how congested any individual router is.
Most certainly, yeah.
You may end up, and that's why we said to know what your maximum speed is, pick the speed test on your network. And if most of the servers you go to are in California, then pick one in California and see what the average speed is to California. But it's not your, that has nothing, once you're off your network, all bets are off. When and that's one of the reasons that companies use those weasel words like up to. So if you're on Time Warner's network, you may indeed get 30 megabits per second. But the minute you go off, they have no control over that.
And for $400 or $500 per month, they'll happy to sell you a connection that has a committed information rate, or CIR, of 30 or whatever you want.
Right,
but that's just mega expensive. I'll do with the oversubscription, as they call it, all day for you know.
Right, and that also brings us to the fact of what's on your head at. Essentially, all of the cable connections in a neighborhood come together at a point that's called a head end, and the maximum number you should have is 100. Anytime you get more than it's Ethernet. Anytime you get more than 100. Connections on a single Ethernet wire, you start getting collisions, and the efficiency goes way, way down. You always get collisions, even if there's only two, but when you hit 100, it gets bad enough that it's horrible. It should never be more than 100. Many head ends, however, and Time Warner and every company knows that. Cable companies know it. Everybody knows it. But once you get close to that 100, they have to start thinking about splitting off another head end that costs money, et cetera, et cetera. So sometimes you find that you're well over 100 before they get around to splitting off another head end. So, for example, when I first got Time Warner, I was the only guy, you know, I was one of the testers. So I owned the internet then, too. But as more people got on, my system got slower and slower. Then they broke off another head end. It got real fast again.
Yeah,
got slower and slower.
When they advertised 10 and you got 10?
Yep. but that's just life. I mean, I don't know how you get around that. There's no point at which they're going to say, well, we'll give everybody their own head end. It's just not going to happen.
Well, collisions kind of explains it, but on a conceptual level, but I believe in DOCSIS, everybody has their own time slot. But if your time slot doesn't come around for another 200
milliseconds,
users, yeah, that's going to slow you way down.
Well, and again, the minute you hit any sort of router, you have the possibility of congestion and collision.
Oh, yeah.
And then you have to resend and resend and resend, and your effective rate can drop by 100%, 200%, 300%, right? I mean, you can drop in half and half again and half again. Nobody can predict your effective rate out on the internet, which is we call them weasel words, but the reality is that that's just the way it works.
I like badger words. No.
Yeah.
No. The other thing to look for, and something called channel bonding. The reason maybe his Scientific Atlanta is moving so slow is maybe it's only working on a single channel down and a single channel up.
Possible.
Whereas the more, and that will slow you down because you only get your time slot on that channel. The reason a bonded cable modem will work better is because it can steal, well, used, I shouldn't say steal, but use time slots from four channels or eight channels down and up.
So right, and that's part of what you're paying for in the newer DOCSIS specification, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's why they're more expensive. Yep. I saw that ARRIS 6183, which has like 16 channels down and up, and that's like $150 if you really want to pay for that kind of performance.
Well, and before you pay for it, find out if Time Warner supports it.
Oh, yeah, well, and that's another thing to bring up. I think it was Steve posted last week that there's a list of Time Warner-approved modems. It's like you really don't want to vary too much from that. Who knows?
I meant to mention that. Thank you. Thank you for pointing that out.
Yeah. Who knows if you want to use that Scientific Atlanta one? I mean, it's great that maybe they use them in the field, but they're just as liable to drop support for that at any time and go to every single one of their customers and have that Scientific Atlanta model and say, okay, we're going to swap out your modem because we're no longer going to support it.
Right, yep. Right. So, yes, to point out to everybody else what we're talking about, on last week's show, we talked about the list of approved modems. That's still in the list of things we talked about in the show. On the front page, you go down. It may have gone off the front page. It's on the left. It's all that stuff on the left. It may have disappeared off the front page by now, in which case it'll be on the second page. Duh. And it's a list. It's a link to the list of modems that have been approved to work with Time Warner in Rochester.
And typically, it's only been a couple of Motorola brand modems, but they've been increasing that list for a while. But I have to say, there's a lot of Netgear modems on that list, and I have seen a lot of problems with Netgear modems, especially dealing with Apple equipment, because that's what we work with mostly. But it's a little frustrating when you see that as the cable modem, and you know that's hard to change without
well,
them buying your own.
Have you seen them lately? Because they got bought by Cisco.
Now, Linksys, well, is that what happened? Because
was it Netgear or Linksys?
Cisco used to own Linksys, and they sold it to Belkin. And Belkin is another one of those. It's a cheap brand, not necessarily a good brand. So we're hoping that the Linksys will bring up Belkin and not Belkin drag down Linksys.
Right.
Also Zoom and
Zizel.
That's another one.
But Yubi is the one I see a lot.
Motorola was the Motorola name was I guess sold off to a company called ARRIS. So really, you're buying it these days.
Yeah.
Right. So who knows anymore? But that's the list, and you can is that on the front page?
Still on the front page.
Approved modems for Time Warner Cable.
I would also recommend that you keep all your items separate unless you're forced by the cable company to bundle. For example, keep your wireless router separate from your cable modem. That way, if your cable modem has a problem, you don't have to readminister the wireless when you get a new one.
Right. What I've been telling people for years is when you get a cable modem, the first thing you hook to it is a wireless router of your own purchasing. And then connect everything to that wireless router. Now, if you're buying your own cable modem, you know, that's slightly different. But if you're keeping the one from Time Warner, then add your own wireless to it. That way you're paying only for a regular router, which is cheaper. And also you're only anything you want to do or change on that wireless router is yours to do.
Yeah, and you don't have to call up Time Warner support. Oh, can you do this to my router? Can you do that to my router? And whatever.
Exactly.
The only time you might be forced to bundle, I guess, is if you also buy your phone service from Time Warner, in which case they might make you buy a combination telephone and internet gateway.
Yes, they do.
Well, the problem here in Rochester is that, as far as I understand it, you can't buy a third-party telephone voice over IP Time Warner router.
Right.
So the one you used to rent, if you buy your own internet router, the phone router you used to rent, you now can keep for free without renting it.
Oh, nice.
Which is frustrating. Why did you make me rent it before?
Yes, indeed. Big money pit we pay into that.
Yeah, exactly. All right,
thank
we got to. Thank you. We got to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 21 minutes after the hour. Soundbites, member supported, Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 25 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we have Ann from Irondequoit on the line. Welcome, Ann. What's up?
I've got a problem with email. I'm using Roadrunner free email services with the Chrome browser and Windows 8. It's been okay, except I'm close to the 20 megabyte storage limit.
Yeah.
And I want to transfer, or I want to archive, not delete most of my emails. So is there any way I can transfer them to a hard drive or a thumb drive without copying and pasting every single one?
What email client are you using on your computer?
What do you mean?
Are you using Windows Live Mail? Are you using Thunderbird? What program do you use to look at your mail?
She said Chrome, so you're looking at it through the web browser.
Oh, she's looking. Okay, that's the problem. You're using a website. If you use an email program on your computer, then you can download the mail to your computer and remove it from the Roadrunner server.
Okay, I can do that then with something like Outlook.
Yeah, but Outlook is expensive and you have to pay for it.
Well, I've already done that because I needed a proper word processing program anyway, which Windows 8 no longer has.
Oh, so you went with the online...
You bought Microsoft Office? Yeah.
I bought Microsoft the program.
Okay, yeah. Well then, yes, you can set up Outlook, since you already have it,
okay,
to go to the Roadrunner mail. Once you're connected to the Roadrunner mail, you'll see all of that mail on your machine, and you can then, I don't have the exact thing in my head, but you can highlight it and go to file and archive and save it all.
And move it, you in essence, you create a mailbox on your computer to move the mail out of the inbox.
Okay, so... it's past mail. It isn't just accumulating future mail.
Right. Your future mail will always come to the inbox.
Okay.
And then you move it out of the inbox, which then deletes it from the Roadrunner server to free up your space on the server.
Okay. So that happens automatically.
When you drag the mail out of the inbox into a local folder.
Okay. Thank you very much indeed.
Sure. And for people that haven't purchased Outlook, you can use a free email program like Thunderbird. Windows Live Mail still exists, doesn't it, for Windows 8?
I think it does, yes.
But, yeah. So, for a long time, you got Outlook Express with Windows, which was a free mail program. But all the other mail program companies got mad, just like the Internet Explorer browser wars earlier. So, Microsoft stopped including a mail program. And so you now have to go search for one.
Well, they want you to do what Ann did, which is go...
Buy Microsoft
Office, or now to buy it online for, you know, whatever, a month and et cetera. So.
Yep. And that could be a different solution, is to change email providers. You could go to Google, which gives you 15,000 megs of disk space instead of the 20 megs that Roadrunner Lite gives you, or even 100 megs on the full Roadrunner.
Right.
Or how much Microsoft gives you, 25 gigs, I think, at Outlook.com. And one of the advantages of using a mail provider like Gmail is that you can switch your internet providers and your email address won't change. So one of the biggest drawbacks of switching mail providers from say Time Warner to Frontier here in town, you have to change your email address.
Right.
And most people don't want to have to do that, so they end up not switching providers.
Right, but if you get a Gmail account, you can take that with you wherever you go. All right, back to the phone. Our next caller is Glenn. And where are you calling from, Glenn?
Pasadena, Texas.
Pasadena, Texas.
Did you guys have a parade to go along with the one in Pasadena, California?
No.
Yeah. And how are things in Pasadena, Texas?
Wet and cold, kind of like up there, except y'all, I'm sure, is about 20 degrees colder.
Yeah, I was just about to say, define cold for Texas is defining it differently from Rochester. My sister-in-law lives in Arizona, and it gets to like 70, and she puts on a sweater.
Speaking about the Motorola Surfboard 6121, a couple of things. One, it's only a modem, so you definitely want to plug a router in behind it. It only has one Ethernet port on it.
Yep.
And second, You might want to check Woot.com.
Yeah. Oh, really, today? I see. I didn't check Woot today.
Yeah, quite frequently. So Woot is a website for really
Look
cheap
at
stuff.
This.
$39.99.
Glenn, you're good. Today, Woot.com, Woot.com. I apologize for presenting Woot to those of you who've never heard of it because it is the crack of the internet. Every day, they have a one-day deal on something else in each category. Today's one-day deal just happens to be the Motorola Surfboard 6121.
How much?
I don't know.
$39.99. But it is a reconditioned one.
Right.
And the 6141 they're sold out of.
Right. But they go at midnight Chicago time. So 1 o'clock in the morning our time, 11 o'clock Glenn's time.
Mm-hmm.
Texas does daylight savings, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. It's Arizona that doesn't. And then they have other categories, but it's one deal a day. When that deal is sold out, it's done, it's gone. And I apologize for having hooked anybody who's listening on Woot. I'm addicted, and I just didn't look this morning. That's very
funny.
Did
you get your bag of crap at the end of the year?
I got a bag of random crap. Every once in a while, they have a deal where if you're quick enough, you get a bag of random crap, and they just throw stuff they haven't sold yet into a box and send it to you. I got an entire 5-phone wireless phone system. I got a
$5 or some ridiculous thing.
Yeah, it's a buck.
Yep.
Cool.
And it also included an Uncle Sam nutcracker and a bunch of other stuff. I once got a Roomba that had actually been used. That was kind of disgusting.
What did you find in the hopper?
Yeah.
Nothing good, trust me. Glenn, that's a great catch. Thank you.
Not a problem. Y'all have a good day.
You too. Thanks. And get all your friends in Pasadena to listen, will you?
Now, you're outside of Houston?
Yeah, just to the east of it.
Cool. How'd you, just out of curiosity, how did you find out about us?
I don't remember because I've been listening to y'all, shameful of me, I know, for, I don't know, 8, 10, 12, I don't know. I just ran into y'all some years ago and just kind of gotten oddly addicted.
Oh, and that is odd, Glenn. That's very odd. Well, talk to your local computer group and talk to your local radio station, your public radio station, and we'll see you there. And if you get enough people together, we'll even come down and do a show for you.
All righty.
Thanks.
You take care.
All right. Bye bye.
Thanks, later, Glenn. Great hearing from you.
That is so cool how some folks find us.
The Pasadena Volunteer Fire Department is the largest volunteer municipal fire department in the U.S.
See that?
According to Wikipedia.
According to Wikipedia.
We always have to end that according to Wikipedia.
Exactly. Who knows if it's true? It's on Wikipedia.
That'd be cool to go do a show in Texas.
It would be fun. I like Texas. I spent some time in Texas in my wild youth, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I'll just put it that way. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Do you remember it, though?
I remember some of it, and I thoroughly enjoyed what I remember.
Clarification.
Yeah. Mostly I was down in the Freeport area, down right by the Gulf of Mexico.
Oh, okay.
And I often dipped the bod in the Gulf of Mexico.
Oh, I know. That was one thing my dad, before he passed away, wanted to go to Texas, and my brother took him because my nephew was stationed there at Fort Hood. And for one other thing that was on my dad's bucket list was he wanted to go see the Alamo.
Sure.
He went and saw it. He goes, wasn't it as impressive as I thought it was?
It's a tiny little place.
Yeah. He goes, I thought it was going to be much more. He goes, going to Ireland was more exciting.
Well, it's huge historically,
yeah,
and tiny physically.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, that's often the way it is back then. A friend of mine went to Israel, and he was talking about all the places in the Bible that he went to see, said mm-hmm. you can see them from each other. You can walk them in a day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I said, you want to read the Bible? That's how it works.
Yeah, it's, they were a lot of it through the whole crucifixion.
Right, but you can, like, drive it in an hour.
Right, and well, that's because people had to walk everywhere, so no one walked more than 2 or 3 hours away from home because you had to walk back again.
Right.
Yeah.
But, yeah, yesterday there was a bad movie on Sci-Fi Channel, Chupacabra versus the Alamo, starring Eric Estrada and Julie Benson.
Then really?
Eric Estrada?
Eric Estrada. That's very funny.
That's a stretch.
Very, very funny. All right, have I got time to? Yes, I do.
Yeah.
All you Facebook fans, last Friday, Facebook apologized to a web designer over how its auto-generated year-in-review posting feature could illuminate the worst parts of a bad year. Designer, author, and Event Apart Expo contributor Eric Meyer, took to his personal blog on Christmas Eve to analyze and scrutinize how Facebook's auto-posted feature, you've all seen it, that year-in-review thing that was up for a while, how it went so wrong. The mechanism was designed to digitally scrapbook highly liked and photo-loaded content in order to put a neat bow on users 2014. But for Meyer, the feature put a glaring spotlight on his own past year. His 2014 was, a quote, celebrated, unquote, with an image which used a photo of his recently deceased daughter and surrounded it with cheerful little pictures and iconography.
Oh.
Yes, my year looked like that, Meyer wrote. My year looked like the now absent face of my little girl. He added that the item was forcefully displayed on his default Facebook feed as the option to hide the feature wasn't visually prominent. Meyer didn't take long to speak about the issue from a designer's perspective, asking Facebook to consider designing for crisis as opposed to assuming that its year-combing algorithms would also always produce happy, selfie-loaded results. He pleaded to make opting out of such content easier, or at least for Facebook to skip displaying auto-generated images at users by default. On Friday, the Washington Post printed an apology from Facebook product manager Jonathan Geller. The app was awesome for a lot of people, but clearly in this case we brought him grief rather than joy, Geller said. Meyer confirmed that he received a personal apology directly from Facebook, and he updated his personal blog to clarify his ultimate purpose in bringing the story up. Taking worst-case scenarios into account is something that web design does poorly and usually not at all, Meyer wrote. I was using Facebook's year-in-review as one example, a timely and relevant foundation to talk about a much wider issue. Meyer went so far as to apologize to the Facebook team responsible for dropping the internet on their heads for Christmas, adding that he believed that mainstream outlets reported the story without the context they assumed the audience would have. So, did you have a less than awesome year in review from Facebook? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll free 1-800-790-0415.
Yeah, just because something has a lot of likes or a lot of hits doesn't mean it's good.
As I said in my post against the year in review thing, I'm sure for 13-year-olds it was cool, but for adults, for many of us, it was much more cruel than cool.
Mm-hmm. I didn't even bother. I just passed. Matter of fact, I've been backing off more and more off of Facebook.
I only go on Facebook because my daughter's on it, honestly.
I have gotten, you know, there's too much other stuff out there, folks living their lives and that, and you know what? It's.
But I want to have intelligent discussions or get real information.
Pick up the phone, yeah.
I can get it on Google Plus, or I can pick up the phone, or I can text somebody, or I can hang out with somebody over Google Hangouts.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of thing works for me way, way better than Facebook.
Yeah, I've just been thoroughly turned off by it, and some of the folks that post stuff, and it's like, really, you know, you don't live your lives there.
Right. I used to tell my daughter and also my godson and his friends, the big difference between you and me is that nobody had cameras when I was doing all the stupid things I did. So it was a big difference for that right there. All right, listen, we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and with you. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415. We've heard from Texas and New York today, 48 other states waiting to happen. We'll be back just a couple of minutes with sound bites. on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we are sound bites. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966 5299, toll free 1-800-790-0415. We heard from New York and Texas, 48 more states, and Puerto Rico. We haven't heard from any of them yet.
And we also heard from
Cheektowaga. Exactly.
Welcome to the U.S.
Right. Welcome to the U.S., Cheektowaga.
Got to pick on Joe.
We have to. Yeah. Somebody's got to. Might as well
yeah.
be us.
Yeah, why not?
So here's a new invention from Apple. Apple's just been granted a new patent for the invention of an iPen. The patent design includes a position-detecting device such as an accelerometer, a smart tip for writing, a pair of transmitter and receivers, and a device for computing. The iPen, otherwise referred to as a stylus, can be used to enter data easily into a computing device without the need to actually touch the device or to use a special type of paper. The data are entered based on the images or text drawn on any type of surface. This includes anything from a whiteboard to a sheet of paper to even a wall. The stylus also has the ability to enter the data into a computing device, even from a distance, such as when the user is at the other end of the room. This concept of distant data transfer makes the stylus an ideal tool in a classroom setting where there's a need for the user to gather a digital version of the notes originally handwritten by someone across the room. Users can also take advantage of the stylus's ability to interpret whiteboard written data, which is simultaneously displayed in the computing device. Apple describes the patent in its abstract thus. The stylus may likewise be moved in three-dimensional space and corresponding images displayed on display of a computing device. The stylus tracks its different positions while a user is writing or drawing, and then either stores the data to be uploaded later or transmit the data simultaneously to a computing device. The computing device then displays the images and text drawn on the surface. Unquote. The functional quality of the stylus definitely makes it an ideal companion device for the rumored Apple iPad Pro. The device is touted as a large tablet, which Apple may just launch from early to middle 2015. The team up of the two devices could be Apple's take on the Surface Pro 3 tablet of Microsoft. The device includes a built-in dock that will hold the pen in place using magnetics. It remains to be seen whether Apple will pursue making the device publicly available, as the company is also known to have filed a number of patents that never really came into existence. For those of you to whom this seems familiar, it is. There are half a dozen other products that have been on the market for years that do essentially the same thing, but now that Apple has patented the idea, I'm sure those other products will have to quietly disappear. So are you excited about yet another Apple innovation that's been on the market for years? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415.
One of the things is that the time between the time you file for a patent and you get the patent can be years. And we hear stories about companies that the patent lawyer walks down the hall. Did you think of anything new today? Did you think of anything today? Did you think of anything today? Let's patent it. How many patents your company has is right. is a good thing for Wall Street. But yeah, so.
But it bothers me when companies, and not just Apple. Apple's easy to pick on because they are very upfront about what they're patenting and people tout it all over the place. But it bothers me when people, when patents are given for things that have been around forever. There's prior art. If there's prior art, you can't get a patent.
What we're sort of seeing is that the patent office is granting everything and letting the courts decide later, which
it's just lazy.
Isn't a good way to do
no,
it.
No, it really, really, really isn't. But
well, it's
no
different than a lot of other government agencies. Look at the Drug Administration.
Yeah.
You know, the drugs that are out there that they let go through, and then on the TV you hear the side effects that these drugs can cause. You know, it might lead to suicidal tendencies.
Oh,
really?
I get a kick out. Antidepressant drugs, one of the side effects is depression. Oh, how does that work?
And it almost makes you wonder, you know, yeah. I mean,
well,
that's
because somebody in the study, one person in the study reported suicidal thoughts, and so they have to list that as a possible side effect.
Yeah, but I mean, sometimes you wonder with the FDA what the heck they're doing, because nowadays there's so many side effects.
Yeah.
You wonder if it's worth taking the gamble of taking this drug. Yep. Versus just living with the symptoms.
Somebody got sued, and now they have to list all the possible side effects. Well, and you know, drugs too. What was that 10 years and $1 billion to get a drug on the market?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the thing that amazes me is when you're right. When you actually pay attention to the side effects.
Yeah.
You know, toenail fungus, and the side effects are rectal bleeding. You know what? No. I'll just wear socks. It'll be fine. And I'm not, I don't get it. I don't, but you know what? It is what it is. And if life revolves around your toenails, that's your business.
Well, and half the things, my wife used to work at a doctor's office, that the a lot of the times the drugs they talk about, they never say what it's for.
Right.
And so you ask your doctor. And so, you know, she said people would come in all the time asking about a drug. No, that's for menopausal women. You don't need that, sir.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
This is crazy.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Yeah, drug companies have, it's all about being publicly listed. You know, people used to buy stocks for the long term. Mm-hmm. You bought stocks so you could pass them on to your children. Now you buy stocks so you can get a Ferrari tomorrow. So the question is always, how much money did you make for me today?
Yeah, instant gratification.
Right, right. Instant gratification isn't fast enough anymore.
Have you read Rogue Code by Mark Rusinovich?
No.
So Mark Rusinovich is a Microsoft fellow, been there forever. He did Win Essentials. And it's the third book in his Jeff Aiken trilogy about a security researcher. And Rogue Code is about a worm inside the New York Stock Exchange. And it's really, you know, it's a techno thriller for computer geeks, and all three of his books have been really good, but this is about manipulating stock prices, and the not just the day traders, the high frequency traders, you know, they'll put through 1,000 trades per second because their computer, and their computer is in the building next to the stock exchange,
right.
So the speed of light delay is less than the computer, you know, the next building over.
Yep. Mm. And if your machine is powerful enough and your algorithms are fast enough,
yep.
And you're not running and you're running a fast enough operating system, you can gain a lot from those things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we back when I was working, we talked about getting a Bloomberg room for teaching about stocks, and of course we didn't have to do split second or whatever, but there was a real concern that it was a 15-minute delay, you know, on the stocks, and you see that today in many stock free stock tickers.
Well, you know, that was one of the other things that I was thinking about too, is remember we used to you had to make an appointments to do like video conferencing. And the delays and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And now you look and you can do Skype for free and you can do it around the world.
With almost no delay.
Yeah, with just about no delay.
Although it happens on This Week in Tech all the time. As soon as they start complaining about Skype, it'll start breaking down.
Right.
So Microsoft must have some keyword recognition in their Skype frame.
Yes. Yes.
No, Skype is, again, I can't say enough about it, especially for our military. I mean, I've got a number of friends that I got one friend, Scott, in Australia that I still stay in close touch with. Very good friends of mine I grew up with. And, but just other folks in the military, being able to stay in touch with their families. That has made a huge difference.
Yeah, think about our generation where you were Particularly if you're overseas in a war zone,
yeah.
You pray that the next time there's mail, there's something for you. And maybe you get something every week. Maybe you don't get something for weeks.
Yeah, to flip open a laptop now and be able to connect with home.
Boom.
It makes a big difference mentally,
yep,
for the soldiers. And I don't care whether it's male or female. It doesn't make any bit of difference. It's the same for both. To see those faces and hear those voices can, you know, give such a bigger reassurance to that individual that it's out there, putting their life out there for our country. You know, and I can't say enough for the individuals that are, you know, giving us the freedoms that we do have. And that one small aspect in all the computer technology has remained free and is there for them to use because it's been a godsend. I know. I've talked to a number of friends working with the Patriot Guard and that type of stuff. You know, it's been great. Some of these other kids being able to see their loved ones and see their baby being born because they couldn't be home.
Right. Or seeing babies take their first steps or say their first words or,
yeah, or
just
get on
be
the
part of the birthday.
Or, you know, like they've shown on YouTube, there's been plenty of those up there too, where the father will be, and then all of a sudden the baby gets on there and says, "Hi, Daddy."
Yeah.
You know, it's like, whoa, that totally melts the dad down, and, you know, there it goes.
I don't care how tough you are. I don't care what branch of the service you're in. I don't care about any of that stuff. When your baby says, "Hi, Daddy," for the first time,
oh, there
you're
you
a
go.
Puddle.
You're dead meat.
Yep. Yep.
You know, it's just the way it is, and, you know, again, thank God for Skype being the way that it is.
Yep. All right, that brings us to the end of yet another exciting adventure in the world of sound bites. We want to thank all those of you called in, particularly Glenn from Texas. That's so very exciting. Always fun to hear from the out-of-staters. And that's it for another week. You've wasted 2 hours of your life. We want to thank you for having done so. We'll be back again next week in case you haven't learned your lesson so you can do it all over again. But in the meantime, stay tuned because George is coming in to play the best German music you will hear all week. Michael is here to keep him on the straight and narrow, or at least to keep him in the studio by locking the door. And then we'll be back next week with a whole lot more sound bites. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's sound bites on the truly great and solely member-supported Jazz 90.1. Thanks for listening. See you in 166 hours.